purpose these next few moments.
And so it is.
To know how blessed we are. To know that we're a part of a great activity of spirit that moves us into the expression of our gifts and talents. And so let us just, as we enter into our meditation time, just dwell upon this idea of just how blessed we are. In spite of all of the challenges and difficulties and struggles that can distract us from our awareness of that abiding and dwelling presence of God. We can take time out to remind ourselves, open our hearts, and begin to call forth all the wondrous ways in which we've been blessed. And so perhaps you have been blessed by a small child in recent time. This feeling, the love that just comes, the unconditional love that radiates from a little one that is close and dear to our hearts. Perhaps you felt the sense of blessing that comes from the support of another, someone who is there to offer a kind word or even just to listen. Just to hold the space for there to be a movement of light, of spirit, a shift, an insight, an epiphany. Perhaps we've been blessed by being gifted with a great sense of abundance. So our way is one of generosity, of creating for others a pathway to a greater expression. Perhaps we've been blessed because we have enjoyed a life that has brought us into relationships, into blessings that cannot just be counted, but simply acknowledged. In all the ways in which you have been blessed in your own life right now, deepen that sense of appreciation, that sense that you are valued and worth and worthy. Let us just simply abide in that awareness, in the silence.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Woo. Feels so good to be back. I've missed you all. Totally have. It's good to be back. So we are continuing this morning in a 12 Powers of Humanity series. And what we're looking at here are the inner powers that we have, sometimes called our spiritual capacities. You know, our innate gifts or attributes, and those things that we have within us that can help us to express more of our deeper authenticity. And so far, we've looked at the powers of faith and strength and love. Today, we are exploring a fourth power, wisdom. My talk title is The Way of Wisdom. And I chose that title because not only are we going to look at the way that wisdom comes forth, we're also going to look at what might be getting in the way of wisdom emerging. What might block it? So, have you ever found yourself saying these words? I knew I shouldn't have done that. Something told me I shouldn't have done it, but I didn't listen. Anyone?
Yes.
So if you found that coming out of your mouth, chances are you have been in the way of wisdom. I know in my own life, I have definitely been on both sides of that coin, either being the way of wisdom coming forth or being in the way. But here's what I want us all to get very clear about this morning, and that is we are the way of wisdom. We are the way that divine wisdom emerges in our world, every single one of us, right now. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes.
Say it like you mean it.
Yes.
So the New Thought teacher, Ernest Holmes, refers to humanity as thinking centers in the mind of God. I always have loved that. But I would reframe that we are wisdom centers in divine mind. Can you let that sink in for a minute? Did you know you're a wisdom center? And so we want to ask ourselves, am I being the way of wisdom or am I being in the way? Because that's a pretty big question that we want to really look at this week. And of course, I've had lots of opportunities to ponder that question as I wrote this talk. It always happens that way. I've just come back from two glorious weeks in Canada on what Gary dubbed the Grandchild Heaven Tour Parts 1 and 2. And a little geography lesson, I flew south to Canada from here. Let's hear a ooh.
Yeah.
I spent a week in Ottawa, Ontario with my son and his family, which is slightly south of here. And then I carried on to Halifax, Nova Scotia on the east coast with my daughter and her family, which again is even more slightly south. I mean, it's not like I went directly south, but I think it's just interesting to note that not all of Canada is north. And I got to spend time with all five of my grandchildren on this trip, so I got to witness wisdom. And some of it was teenage wisdom, and some of it was toddler wisdom. And that's how I learned about when I was blocking my wisdom coming out, was through that process. Yeah, I had two full weeks. And what did I learn from this total immersion experience? Well, first of all, I was constantly delighted and amazed at the childlike wisdom that I just kept seeing coming out of these little people. I look into my grandson's eyes, 16-month-old, and I see wisdom in a deep way. And the one thing I learned, one of the things I learned was a reminder, really, rather than a new insight, and it is this. We all have a deeper intelligence within us, right here and right now, all the time. Maybe our access to it is a little clogged, you see, but it's there. Nevertheless, it's there, and it's ready to lead us. We have this divine connection that can lead us, show us the way, no matter what's going on in our lives, if we clear out whatever is impairing its flow. That's the caveat. Now, we're not talking here about intellectual knowledge. There's a difference. We're speaking about a deeper intelligence, an intuitive wisdom. Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, calls it a knowing capacity that transcends intellectual knowledge. It's a knowingness, a deeper understanding that transcends the story that the mind may be telling us. This knowingness is like a gut feeling. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Something told me, and yet I still did. And if we think about it in a spiritual arena, intellectual knowledge can help us to try to know more about God. Wisdom is experiencing God. Do you see? It's sinking into that oneness. It's living the truth. The poet Tennyson said it this way, knowledge is earthly of the mind, but wisdom is heavenly of the soul. And that's what I saw on my trip, heavenly wisdom. You know, there's a story about one of my personal heroes, Albert Einstein, that illustrates this. This story is told through one of his students, Buckminster Fuller. How many of you are familiar with Buckminster Fuller? Man, he's brilliant. I love him. And I, if you don't know about him, go ahead and Google, see what this guy's about. He's just amazing, or he was. And I was unaware that he was a student of Einstein's, but he was. And so it makes perfect sense to me when I put those two things together. So Bucky, as he was called, was walking through the campus one day, and he saw Einstein coming toward him, and he stopped him and asked him a question. And so Einstein went into this, there's a duck on that chair. I don't know the wisdom behind that. I know I have to figure out. There truly is one. Not a real one. Not a real one. I think Sacred Rebel might have something to do with it. Just listening to this wisdom.
I think Jim Sledge is rooting for Oregon.
We can make up all sorts of stories around that, can't we? Let's see what we can figure out. Anyway, back to Einstein and his wisdom. So he asked him this in-depth question, and he spent a whole hour giving him the answer, going into this really in-depth talk about it, and he astounded Bucky with his brilliance and his wisdom. And after having that conversation, then Einstein said, "Now I have a question to ask you. Which way was I going when you stopped me?" And so he pointed to the left, and he said, "Ah, good. That means that I've already had my breakfast then, thank you," and walked away. Now, this man who discovered the theory of relativity could not remember that he had eaten a meal. In fact, he was very clear about keeping information out of his head that might clog him up or get in his way, cloud things up. He never did know his phone number. He never did learn it. And so I'm not suggesting that we completely empty ourselves of any information that could help us on this physical plane. Don't hear me saying that, but it's important to realize that wisdom is not intellectual facts, it's a deeper knowing. And Fillmore, and Einstein says, the intellect has little to do on the road to discovery. There comes a leap in consciousness, call it intuition or what you will, and the solution comes to you, and you don't know how or why. You just know that you know. And we all have that knowingness in us right now, regardless of how old we are. Sometimes we think, you know, it comes from age. But there's a wonderful poem that I use whenever I do an infant christening. And it goes like this. I'm going to say it to your little one there. I might cry. Don't be confused by my body. Don't be confused by my size. For I have come from spirit, and I'm ancient and very wise. And that poem kept going through my mind the whole time I was away. Don't be confused by my body. I'm ancient and very wise. It just kept ringing through my head. And wisdom really has nothing to do with aging, even if you have lots of what my hairdresser very tactfully calls wisdom hairs. Yes, as we grow older, we learn from experience and increase in wisdom. I would agree with that. Dr. Joe Dispenza defines wisdom as past experience minus the drama. You know, when the fruits of the past have been integrated with all the emotional baggage, that's wisdom. But age has no hold on it. In fact, the other thing I learned was how much I needed to become as a child in order to bring forth this wisdom. You see that, this clearing out process that we do, it's about becoming as a child. Words attributed to the master teacher, Jesus. Unless you become as a child, you will not enter the kingdom. You won't have access to the field of infinite possibilities because we're having to have it be a certain way, an adult way of thinking. This is profound words of wisdom. It's all about letting go of the adult egocentric need for perfection. Anyone? For having things be perfect. To never appearing foolish. I know this one well. I do. In fact, it can go way beyond a need to an addiction. Imagine being addicted to looking good, to looking smart, to being smart. You know, needing to be smart is really a masquerade for appearing fear of appearing foolish. And that can be the biggest deterrent we have for letting this childlike wisdom come forth. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, and the reason for that is because the intuitive wisdom we get doesn't always make sense to our logical thinking, you know? It's just a knowingness. And I don't suggest we throw out rational thought. We want our discerning minds. But when we rely solely on what the head has to say, what happens? It shuts down the divine flow of guidance and wisdom. And here's one way to sort of check that out. The Franciscan priest Richard Rohr points out that whereas information will inflate the ego, transformation utterly humbles us. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom coming forth. That's becoming as a child, that humbleness. And I know this needing everything to be perfect thing so well. It dogs me. Even on this trip, I wanted to be the perfect grandmother. But there was a little problem there, and that is that I was asked to babysit. Now, and it's a whole lot easier being Nana when you're not babysitting. Any other grandmothers or grandfathers? Yes, right. And I was babysitting every day while my son and daughter-in-law went to work. And I became so watching. Oh, you've learned how to climb up there now. Oh. And all I wanted was when they walked through the door to say, he's still breathing. It's all good. Everything's good. And I found myself getting so caught up in that, needing things to be perfect. I had to relax, become as a child. I really did. Because if we don't do that, what happens? Fear takes hold, and fear runs us. I love Annie Lamott. She's one of my favorite authors. She says, my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I try not to go there alone. And when we stay at that human level of judgment, we don't want to go there alone. It can be a very scary place. We can tell ourselves all sorts of stuff that isn't true, limiting beliefs, everything. But here's the good news. We don't have to go there alone. This is not the only brain power we have. It's not it. It's part of our cognitive ability. But we also have a heart brain. You know, it's actually, we can process and encode information in the heart as well. And we might think of the solar plexus as part of the body's heart. We have these three aspects, and when we align them all, guess what? We open the gate to wisdom. Cognitive ability combined with the deeper intelligence of the heart, married with the gut wisdom of the body, wow, that's a winning combination, because then we can be led through this neighborhood of false beliefs, the minefield, and that neighborhood doesn't seem so scary anymore. It's like we have this guidance with us. As the Sufi poet Hafiz writes, fear is the cheapest room in the house. I'd like to see you living in better conditions. We can upgrade to a better neighborhood, you know. Those improved conditions await us when we allow wisdom to be our guide, but we have to let spirit lead. And that takes courage, it takes vulnerability, humility, willingness to appear foolish, becoming as a child. Charles Fillmore also wrote this. Intellectual understanding comes first in the soul's development, then deeper understanding of principle follows until the whole human ripens into wisdom. I love that. We ripen into wisdom. It's a flow that happens. It's an evolutionary growth and shift. And we can trust in that power as it guides us through life. There's a parable told about the Buddha, told by the Buddha, about a young prince who completes his military studies and has given the title Prince Five Weapons. So as you might guess, he has five weapons that he carries around with him. And he, armed with these weapons, he sets out on the road that's going to take him back to his father's kingdom. And on the way, he comes to a forest. And the local people tell him not to enter, since there's an ogre in there who never lets anyone pass. And the young prince, confident, fearless, he just goes in there anyway and finds the ogre, who engages him in battle. And each of the prince's weapons is rendered harmless one by one until he's got none left. And still, he continues to challenge the ogre and remains unafraid. And finally, the ogre says, "Why aren't you afraid?" And he says, "I have in my belly a thunderbolt of a weapon." And the ogre understands he's talking about self-knowledge and wisdom, and he lets him go. We all have that thunderbolt. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You have the thunderbolt." Within each one of us is infinite wisdom. Let that sink into your awareness for a moment. Inside of you is inborn divine intelligence, and it knows all. It can guide you in all areas of your life. Isn't that wonderful? Really? And there's nothing we need to get to make that true. There's no books we have to read, no seminars we have to take, except the Q process. Gary made me add that in. No sermons you have to listen to, except this one. That wisdom is ours by divine birthright. Right here, right now, but we have to access it. How do we do that? Well, the wise Jedi Master Yoda tells us how. And Luke asks him, "How am I to know the good from the bad?" And Yoda answers, and I'm not going to try to do a Yoda voice. "You must unlearn what you've learned, and it is in the peace and the calm that you will know." See? It's in the peacefulness, the calmness of meditation, in the quiet times of communing with the divine presence that we find wisdom. Can you accept the possibility that gaining wisdom is as simple as becoming quiet, turning your attention to God within, asking, trusting, listening, unlearning what you've learned? Because wisdom has nothing to do with IQ or how many books we've read or how many diplomas we have. It's much more about a surrendering to the greater mind within and trusting in its guidance. There's a story from the Tao Te Ching that illustrates the difference between intellectual knowledge and wisdom. There were four very learned men, and they decided that they wanted to seek employment with the king. And that way they could use their higher learning. And so they set off to the capital, for the capital together. And of the four, there were three who were particularly brilliant. There was one who was not quite so bright intellectually, but he had great wisdom. And on the road, they discovered the skeleton of a lion. And one of them says, "Let's bring this lion back to life. It'll bring us great fame." And they all agreed, except the fourth one, who pointed out, "You know, that lion might attack us." And the first one said, "Don't interrupt." He was already using his superior, you know, powers to put flesh on the skeleton. And the three worked together, and as they were about to breathe life into the lion, the fourth one spoke again. He said, "Shouldn't we be thinking of safety? Hello?" That's a direct quote. The others ignored his suggestion, so he found a tree to climb, and from there he watched the lion attack all of his companions. So, moral of the story, you know, I mean, and the Tao tells us, don't be destroyed by knowledge, rather use wisdom, common sense, to survive. See, it's our gut instinct. Each of our inner powers is represented metaphysically by one of the 12 disciples. And the disciple that represents wisdom is James, son of Zebedee. He was the brother of the disciple John. And together, they were called the sons of thunder. Remember the thunderbolt. James represents wisdom, and John represents love, and the two of them are connected like brothers. You see, they need to work together. We don't want one without the other, or we get into problems if we don't do that. That's why we want an alignment between head, heart, body. That's why. Then the higher wisdom can come through. And without that alignment, here's what happens. The mind will censor the deeper intelligence that's coming forth. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yes.
Now, all of these powers are interrelated. They all work in conjunction with one another. In fact, here's an example of strength working with wisdom. You see here we have this poor dog watching a skunk eat his food. That dog is demonstrating strength and wisdom very, very well together. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. So true wisdom comes from being willing and able to accept and to live our lives as if we were connected to our source, as if there was no separation between source and us, that it's just one. And to make the decision to surrender to that source and to allow it to move, to allow it. In her book, The Language of Letting Go, Melody Beattie writes, "You can think, you can make good decisions, you can make choices that are right for you. Yes, we all make mistakes from time to time, but we are not mistakes. We don't have to be intellectuals to make good choices. We each have a gift available to us, and that's wisdom." So here are a couple questions to look at this week. I know that spirit groups have now completed their discussion weeks, but I think they're good to look at anyway. First one, what's the practice you have to help connect with your wisdom within you? Do you have a daily practice where you actually sit and commune and check in and connect to the one presence, one power? So what is that for you? And the second one is, so then how do you get your guidance? You know, what happens for you? Do you get something in prayer that comes forth? Do you have some kind of image that you might see? Do you hear a voice? Does somebody say something to you? Do you have dreams? What, all the above? Who knows? But, you know, typically we have certain ways that we kind of get those things. But it's something to become aware of. You know, how do I get my guidance? And then the bonus question is to choose an area of your life you need guidance around and spend some time asking that question. What is Spirit guiding me to do right now? Take some time, ask the question. Trusting, becoming as a child. We all have that thunderbolt within us. Each one of us has access to all the guidance and direction and inspiration and understanding that we could possibly need right here, right now. We're all spirit playing hide and seek. You know, it's like sort of a cosmic masquerade party. And if we start looking on every person, every event, as an opportunity for the message of spirit to come through, wow, our life takes on a whole new meaning. Events become blessings. I am so blessed. Toddlers become teachers. Life becomes a dance. And suddenly, the mind is not such a bad neighborhood after all. So it is.
I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so...